I'm going to get into this message. It's discipleship. But before I do, because those jokes went over so good last week, I'm going to tell another one this week. You're welcome. It's your fault for laughing. Don't blame it on me. It's very quick, though. It's very quick. See, Jesus, he came in. You know, we're talking about discipleship, so I thought I'd tell something about his disciples. So Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, and they're all sitting there at the Last Supper, and Jesus stands up and says, "I am the Son of God." And the disciples went, "No way." And Jesus said, "Yahweh." Dun, dun, dun. And you're moaning and everything, but you know you're going to go home and tell that to your family or to your relatives, your neighbors. You're going to tell it at work tomorrow. You know you are. It's so bad, it's funny. It's so bad, it's good. All right, let me get this microphone straight so I'm not blowing at you all day. All right, so I'm going to read a scripture from Matthew chapter 28. We all know it, but I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 28, turn to verse 18. 28:18. Again, like I've been saying the last several weeks, I'm going to have you highlight things, underline things, write things down. I want you to get a hold of this. Again, if this is where the Lord's leading us as a church, we need to grab hold of it. We need to know it. We need to take it with us. We need to pray about it. We need to meditate on it. All right, Matthew 28:18, very familiar passage. Jesus has already been resurrected. He's about to go and ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so it's important to understand the context here. That's what's about to happen. That was just what happened. He's with his disciples, and this is what it says. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Everybody say, on earth. On earth. He said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Now, why is that important? Let me stop for a minute and teach for a second. Why is it important that he said that? Well, we knew that he had all authority in heaven. But the important thing, the reason on earth is important is because who had he given authority to on earth in the beginning? To man. Jesus gave authority to man in the beginning, to Adam and Eve, right? He said, "You've been given all dominion over all the earth. Fill the earth, multiply." And he said, "And you've been given dominion over the earth." Man had been given dominion. Man had been given authority to rule over the earth. And man gave us authority, gave it away to Satan in the garden when he agreed with Lucifer, his lie over the truth of God's word. Amen? You with me? Okay? So man had given his authority away. So Jesus came to redeem that authority, not just redeem our souls, not just to redeem us and wash every sin away. He came to win back the authority that we had rightfully given away. And so he said, "I've been given all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth." And it's important to understand that because the next thing he says is, verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Underline that, circle it, highlight it. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, it's important to understand also when Jesus said in verse 20, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." He's not just talking about following the letter of the law. In fact, he's not talking about that at all. He's not talking about that. He's talking about following what he commanded, what he was teaching during the time that he was making disciples here on this earth. He spent an intense time with these disciples, and he was teaching them important things. And what he was saying was, "Teach them everything that I've taught you. Everything that I shared with you, I want you to teach these new disciples." And so that's important to understand. So the words "make disciples" in this scripture in verse 19, "make disciples," that I had you underline, those words are metateo. Metateo is the Greek word for those two words, okay? And this is what it means. It means to train in discipleship, helping someone to progressively learn the word of God to become a matured, growing disciple, literally a learner and a true follower of Christ. That's what that means. So when Jesus was saying, "Make disciples," he'd go into all the world and help people, teach them, and help them to learn the word of God and become matured and growing disciples of what I've taught you. That's what he was saying to us to do. Go into all the world and do this, okay? So in other words, Jesus is saying, this is going to take some time and some commitment on your part. This is not a quick thing. It's going to take some time. How many of you know you can't teach someone that all that Jesus taught you in just one day? How many of you know that? You can't teach someone all that Jesus taught you in just a nonchalant conversation in the hallway. You can't teach someone everything that you've been taught to this point in your life from the Word of God when you just spend a few minutes with someone once a week. It takes more time than that. I could spend just 5 minutes with you a week, and I can't possibly teach you all that I've learned from the Lord in 1 year. Amen? Amen. So it takes time. It takes commitment. Think about it. These disciples that Jesus was talking to, they were with Jesus for 3 very intense years, a little over 3 years, about 3.5. 3.5 years with Jesus. I mean, think about this. They walked with him, and they talked with him, and they slept with him, and they ate with him, and they were in the boat with him, and they were on the land with him. They were everywhere with Jesus. Everywhere that Jesus went, these disciples were with him for 3.5 years. There were very few moments that they were apart. And the moments that they were apart was when Jesus went on the mountaintop to pray, or he'd go into the wilderness to pray. But Jesus would come back, and he'd be with his disciples the entire time. Everywhere they went, they were with Jesus. Everything they did, they were watching Jesus. Everything that he said, they were listening to and writing it down. And so Jesus was with them constantly. This is a picture of discipleship. And so because of that, Jesus was telling them, you go out and duplicate what I've just done with you. You go out and make disciples. Do with others what I've just done with you. Everybody getting this today? Do this with other people. And this is why much of the Western church doesn't practice true discipleship anymore. This is why. It's too time consuming. It's difficult. It's frustrating at times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody had to deal with any dirt? All right? It's frustrating at times. It gets dirty at times. It's time consuming. It takes time. And that's why we don't see the Western church doing this anymore. And why do I say the Western church? Because I live in, I'm a part of the Western church. The Western church is this part, the United States, and this part of the church is the Western church. I mean, we don't understand what people are going through in other countries, in communist countries, or in countries that are predominantly run by Islam. We don't understand what they're going through, what the church is going through. We've got it so good here and so easy here. We get to gather together in our buildings that are so comfortable and, you know, have our wonderful coffee. I love our coffee. Don't you love our coffee? And it's good. But we get to have our free coffee and all of that, and we get to enjoy our time here together, and we get to hear a good word from the Lord, and we get to go home, and we don't really face persecution. We don't know what persecution is like. We don't have to go through that. So I can't talk about those churches. And I really feel like in my spirit that the churches in other worlds that are dealing with the stuff that I would just mention, those churches are so much more on fire for the Lord. They're so much more committed to his word and to discipleship and to going and making disciples because they know what's on the line. They know that every day they step out of their house to go meet together with other believers, their life might be on the line. They may be risking it all to gather like we are today. We're not risking our lives to come here today. And I'm going to tell you this. If we were, if there was some kind of threat of us risking our lives, many of us would stay home. We'd be afraid of going out of what might happen. And I understand that. I understand that we've been, desensitized to what really persecution is because we haven't experienced it. But if persecution really does come to the Western church, will we be able to stand up? Will we be able to stand upon the word of God? Will we be able to be fearless and walk out of our homes and meet together as the body of Christ? Or are we going to be afraid and cower in our homes? This is not even part of the message. I just got to go here. It's what the Holy Spirit's saying to do, okay? We've got to change some things in our world. We've got to change some things in the body of Christ. We've got to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to be afraid of what people might say or do. I'm going to stand upon the word of God. His word is truth. And it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I'm going to gather together with the body of Christ. Amen? And so Jesus, I mean, I can't get off of this right now. I can't go back. Before I came out here, I said, Lord, only your words today. Just like, I always pray that, but I want to really hear from Holy Spirit today. But think about this. What do you think Jesus and his disciples were facing every single day? Jesus knew that they were bent on destruction, the Pharisees. They were bent on finding him and killing him. They wanted to destroy him because of the truth that he was speaking. Don't you think that same enemy, and I'm not talking about the Pharisees, I'm talking about Satan. Don't you think that same enemy wants to destroy the church today for speaking the truth of God's word? When I go through things, the first thing I look at is, Lord, what did I say from your word that stirred up the enemy? Right? And so we can't be afraid. We can't cower back in fear when we're speaking the truth of God's word and the enemy comes in trying to destroy. We have to trust the Lord that he's going to, like a flood, the Lord's going to raise up a standard against the enemy. He's going to protect us. He's going to guard us. He's going to be with us. He won't let us down. He's a way maker, a promise keeper, a miracle worker. That's who our God is, and he won't let us down. Amen? And Jesus knew that. He told his disciples, we're just going to keep going. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about what's happening. We're going to keep going. See, the Western church, what's happened is we've become so desensitized by what real persecution is, and we've become so accustomed to having it so comfortable and easy that we just want an easier life. We just want the promises of God and the blessings of God and the outpouring of God's Spirit without any difficulties. We just want the blessings of God to come, you know, and pour out in our lives and just have this abundant life that Jesus promised, but we don't want to have the trials or the difficulties that come. Can I tell you, you cannot have one without the other? Hello? If you believe that, I'm sorry. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but that's not the word of God. Jesus did not promise us an abundant life without trials. Hello? He didn't. He said, in this life, you will have many trials. How many know that's the word of God? Raise your hand if you know that's the word of God. But then he said, but take heart. Do not fear, for I have overcome the world. He said, in this world you have many trials, but take heart, I have overcome the world, right? So he promised us blessings. He promised us he said, Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life abundantly, right? Do you see? You can't have one without the other. Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life abundantly. If you want abundant life, be ready for the trials. Be ready for the difficulties. You can't run from the difficulties. You have to embrace and understand that God's going to work through those things. He's going to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. Amen? God will do it, but you have to not run away and not be afraid. So we're so used to this. We want this abundant life. We want that. We just keep adding stuff to our lives. And then we complain about being overwhelmed because we added so much stuff to our lives. And many people will add stuff to their life, and then they'll say, well, Jesus told me to add this to our life. Well, if Jesus told you to add that stuff to your life, then don't complain about it. Don't complain. And I got to say this. I really got to say this. Listen. In this word, because I'm about to point something out to you that's very important. This is about making disciples. It's about discipleship, okay? I'm not talking about evangelism. Some people just want evangelism. And listen, oh, we love evangelism, right? We love evangelism. All the glamour is in evangelism. Let's just go out and make converts. Yeah, that's what I'm called to do. I'm just called to go out and make converts. No, we've never been called to just go out and make converts. You won't find that in the Word of God. Jesus never said, go into all the world and make converts. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Well, what's the difference? I'll show you the difference. In fact, look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 15. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, this is called the seven woes. And you have to understand what was happening during this time. Jesus was at the temple courts. The Pharisees were there doing what Pharisees do, the Pharisee stuff. They had their Pharisee clothes on. They had their Pharisee hats. Their phylacteries were wide and their tassels were long, all right? And they're standing there in the temple courts with their phylacteries and, and all of that. And Jesus, he says to them, he says, "Woe to you Pharisees, teachers of the law, you hypocrites." Ouch. And they stood there and listened, right? And that's what he was saying through the seven woes. He kept saying this. And then he says this in verse 15. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you cross land and sea to make one convert. Now watch, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell that you yourselves are." Woo! How many of you would say with me, that's pretty strong words? That's a rebuke. That's a rebuke. Jesus was rebuking them. But you got to catch this, okay? You cross land and sea to make one convert, comma, and then. What comes after "and then"? And then you turn that person into twice the child of hell that you yourself are. Here's what he's saying. Making converts, evangelism, is just the beginning. Afterwards is the discipleship. And what the Pharisees were doing, where they were discipling under the wrong spirit. Hello? They were giving them the wrong spirit. They were giving them the wrong word. They weren't giving them what God wanted them to give them. They were giving them what the corruption that they had built up in their lives. Their corrupt hearts were being poured out upon these people, these converts that they were making. There's a difference between conversion and discipleship. There's a difference between evangelism and discipleship. We weren't called to go into all the world and make converts. In fact, I'll just tell you this, it's really not our job. Our job is to love people, and Holy Spirit will lead them to Jesus. Amen? I'm not saying we don't pray with people. I'm not saying that we don't pray and lead them to the Lord. But let's stop taking the credit for that. It's God's job. The only way people are drawn to the Lord is the goodness and the kindness of God. It's the goodness and kindness of God coming out of you that leads people to Jesus. But that's just the beginning. When we give our hearts to the Lord, that's the cross. But too many people have knelt at the cross and stayed at the cross. They're wearing ruts in the ground at the cross, but the cross is the beginning of salvation. It's not the end of salvation. Once you kneel down at the cross and give your life to Jesus, you need to get back up again, and you need to follow Jesus. Staying at the cross is actually a dangerous place. You can't just stay at the cross because you're right on the edge. You're right on the edge of where you came from. Come on, y'all. Yeah. You don't want to be right on the edge. I don't want to be right on the edge of where I came from. I know where I came from. I know the corruption I came out of. I know the horrible life that I came out of. I know how the enemy had me in chains in the pit. And I know when Jesus broke every chain and lifted me up and placed my feet on the solid rock, I know that I couldn't just stay there. I needed to walk and follow Jesus. And that's what we have to do. That's discipleship. Discipleship is from the cross, then we move toward Jesus. Jesus didn't stay on the cross. How many of you know that? He got up. Look at somebody, say, "He got up." And he ascended and he moved. And so that's what we need to understand. So I want to say this to you. I want to say, beware of people who want to make converts but don't want to put the work and sacrifice into making disciples. Beware of them. People that just want to go out and do that, beware. There's something about that. Alan White wrote this. He said, "The American church is not called to make converts. In fact, to lead people in a prayer without offering them a pathway and companions for the journey is irresponsible." Come on. Let me tell you this. A hog and a hen were sharing the same barnyard and heard about a church's feeding program that they're having to feed the hungry. And the hog and the hen discussed how they could help. And the hen said, "I've got it. We'll provide the bacon and the eggs for the church to feed the hungry." And the hog thought about that for a moment, and he looked at the hen, And he said, there's one problem with your solution. How many of you know what the problem was? Can I say to you that the hen represents a lot of followers today? Their solution of discipleship cost them very little. Yet Jesus called us to give up everything to follow him. He called true disciples to give everything. True disciples are more like the hog than the hen. He called us to give it all. He told his disciples, you go out and duplicate what I just did in your life. What did Jesus, think about this. Please think about this. What did Jesus do? He came and he walked with them and talked with them and ate with them and taught them and he cried with them and he sweated with them and he bled with them. He did everything with them for 3.5 years and then he gave his life for them. And then he said, after the resurrection, he said, you go out and do the same thing. Woo! I'm about to get to a scripture in a minute. You're going to shout. Mark chapter 8. That's not the scripture, but this is a good one too. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. Look at it. Look it up. You need to see this. Mark 8, 34. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, this is Jesus, he said, you must give up your own way. Look at somebody and say, your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I want you to answer that. Is anything worth more than your soul? No. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. The question is this, are you committing it all to Jesus or are you just contributing a small part? Are you giving it all like the hog or just giving a small part like the hen? What are you doing? I had you do this morning because just like last week when the Lord told me to give you that illustration with the rope, he said, do this morning. And how many of us, and you all, I pretty much felt like you all came up and put a cup of dirt in this container. But I mean, you could probably, like me, put many cups. Anybody? Anybody could put a lot of dirt? Like I could have just took the whole wheelbarrow. And please, somebody said to me in the line, I need a dump truck, please. Beep, beep, beep. But how many of you know that Jesus, you know, got down in the dirt? He wasn't afraid to get dirty. In fact, that's what he was looking forward to. That's what he came for. You know that, right? But let me just say this in the beginning. How many of you know Jesus was there in the beginning? Huh? Christ was there in the beginning with God, right? He created us in his image. How many of you know that God in the beginning, he reached down and he grabbed a handful of dirt and he squeezed it and he breathed life into it and that became you and me. Amen? That's how we were created. You know that, right? We're dirt. But he put his spirit in us. He brought life to us. So when Jesus came with his disciples, this is what he taught them. This was what the whole 3.5 years was about. Think about it. Jesus was criticized because he kept going to the dirt. He kept going to the least of these. He kept going to the tax collectors' houses and the prostitutes, and he kept going to those who were down and who were beaten and who were betrayed and who were left for dead. He kept going to them. He even told parables about the people that were left on the side of the road and those who were religious kept walking on by. He kept talking about that. He kept trying to drive point the home the point. You know what I mean. He kept trying to drive home the point about what it is to be a follower of Jesus and make followers of Jesus. And time again, he'd get down in the dirt with them. But I don't, you know, a shovel just doesn't do it justice. I see Jesus more like this. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to get down there with the broken and the hurting and the lost. Those who have been betrayed and left on the roadside. He's not afraid to get down there because he knows if I just dig down here, if I just keep going with them, if I just keep digging, I know there's so, I created them. I know what's there. I know what's deep inside. And if I just keep digging, the gold is there. The gold is there. It's in them. I created them for something. I created them for something, and I know it's there, and so I'm not going to run from them. I'm not going to leave them. That's why he gave us promises like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't turn my back on you. It doesn't matter what you do, Jesus won't turn his back on you. It doesn't matter how dirty you get, Jesus won't turn his back on you. It doesn't matter how corrupt the world thinks you are, Jesus won't turn his back on you because he knows what's in you because he created you. So that's there. And I could tell you, not just as a pastor, just a follower. I'm just like you. I'm just a follower, Kevin, just like you. It's you and me, bro. We're just followers of Jesus. And I could tell you from experience that when you get down in the dirt and you get your hands dirty, you'll find the gold in people if you'll just give it time, if you'll just trust Jesus, if you'll just do what he did and stay in the dirt with them until you see this come out. It will come. It will come, but you got to be patient. Your love can't fail. That's why it doesn't need to be your love. It needs to be the love of God, unconditional love. You're not going to see this happen with your love. My love, our conditional love, oh, we'll give them a chance. We'll give them a chance. But boy, the next time they do this, how many of you said that before? Come on, I've said it. Said it to my kids. One more time. I'm cutting you off from your inheritance, all $3.32. You're not getting a penny of it. It's there. But we got to be willing to get down in the dirt. See, there are some people who only take on disciples who've had most of the work done by someone else. Oh, yes, I said it. I said it. I'm just shaking under the anointing right now. I'm telling you, Jesus is here. Holy Spirit's in this place. He wants to break some chains. He wants to tear down some strongholds. Listen, I'm telling you, it's going to take work. It's going to take getting down in the dirt. If we want to see the kingdom of God come, if we want to see the church that God promised in the last days rise up, it's going to take us getting down in the dirt with people. Not running away from them when we see the dirt. But see, a lot of people just want to disciple people that have already been cleaned up. Most of the work's been done. Well, who wouldn't want to do that? Yeah, Jesus, you spend those 3.5 years with those disciples. You spend those 3.5 years with them and then give them to me after you're done. Who wouldn't want to take on Peter after Jesus set him straight? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Jesus took care of the hard stuff. But he called us to go and duplicate that. He called us to do the same thing. And I'm just saying this to you. How many of you know that you've been here a few years at least? You know that Kim and I aren't afraid to get down in the dirt with you. We're not afraid to get down and spend time with you and go through whatever you got to go through. Go through your stuff. We're not. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do. I'll get down there and do it with you. This is what God's called us to do. Then there's those people who always want to know this. You hear this question a lot. Can I be a Christian? Can I be a follower? Can I be a disciple without going to church or without participating in disciple making? Can I do that? You know what I'm talking about? You get those questions all the time. And then there's people that are adamant, no, you don't have to be go to church to be a Christian. And I agree. Yes, the answer is, can I be a Christian without going to church? Can I be a follower without making disciples? Sure, it's possible. It's just like being a student who won't go to school. It's kind of like being a soldier who won't join the army. It's like being a citizen who won't pay taxes or vote. It's kind of like, being a salesman who has no customers. Or being an explorer who has no base camp. I mean, I could go on and on. It's like being a businessman who's on a deserted island, or being an author without any readers, or being a football player without a team, or being a bee without a hive. It's like being a follower, but you're not following anybody. Quit asking questions like that and start asking the question, Father, what must I do to get down in the dirt more with these people and with my brothers and sisters in Christ? I've said this before. We all know John 3:16. How many know John 3:16? Everybody knows John, right? If you don't know it, you got to know it. You just watch a football game and John 3:16 is right between the goalposts every time. And I love that, but most people don't know 1 John 3:16. In fact, if I ask people in this place to quote 1 John 3:16, it'd be very hard to do for most. So I want you to look at it. 1 John 3:16. Is it on the screen? I don't know if I have that. We do have it? Good. 1 John 3:16. This is what it says. This is powerful. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Right? We're thankful for that. Amen? We're thankful for that. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. What is real love? Real love is giving up your life for your brothers and sisters. It's getting down in the dirt with them. It's staying with them through thick and thin. Like I said about Ruth earlier today, through thick and thin. No matter what, on the mountaintop, in the valley, no matter what comes your way, you're going to stay with the body. You're going to stay in the dirt with people. See, I want to show you this one more time. Last week I used this rope, and if you weren't here, go watch it. But as an illustration of unity, we're tied together. We're bound together by unity. That's what binds us together. That's what the Lord prayed for. Jesus said in his last prayer, Father, bind them together. Make them one. As I am in you and you are in me, make them one. So we're bound by unity. And if we don't have unity, then we're not together. We're not bound. And Jesus is on the front end there, and we're following him, and we're all tied to the same rope. Jesus, the Word of God. And last week, that's what I was saying at the beginning. I told you, we don't cut the rope when we're going through difficulties. But something the Lord was showing me this week, he said, yes, you're bound by unity, but that same thing that ties you together, that rope that binds you together, is also what you use to go back to your brothers and sisters or go forward to them and go to them and get in the dirt with them and pick them up, brush them off, and help them keep walking. Amen? Let me say it this way. If a brother or sister falls, in fact, let me get somebody. Is there somebody back there? One of my brothers back there behind? Yeah, come on. Is one of the guys back there? Yeah, have them come out here. They're about to come out and make an announcement. Come on out here. Yeah, come on. You can just hold that right now. You don't have to make an announcement right now, but come on. Yeah, come on out, Dave. I want you to get back here on the rope. We're going to do this.
Way down again?
Yeah, just down here, yeah. So Dave did this last week. It's perfect that you're out here. It's perfect. So Dave did this last week. Go ahead and wrap that around you. Yeah, get into that, Dave. I'm pulling.
Trying to squeeze it.
What? Get it up there. Get up there. Ready? Is that good? Tug of war. Okay. So last week, as I said, Dave fell. Go ahead, Dave.
Fall again?
Yeah, go ahead. Another great fall. Another great fall, Dave. They fell, and this is what, as the body of Christ, when a brother or sister falls, We should feel that. Tell me who in this place, when you cut yourself, the rest of your body doesn't feel it. Anybody? You feel it. How many of you have been walking through the living room in the middle of the night to get a drink of water? You stubbed your toe on the footstool, huh? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, the very hairs of my head felt it. Everybody, Kim felt it upstairs. I mean, you feel it. Your whole body, isn't it amazing how when you do something like that, you grab your foot and start hopping around, like your hands immediately go there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Your hands immediately go to the wound. You grab hold of it. They're not doing any good at all. They're not. But it's comforting that the hands are there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're just jumping around like, ooh, ah. And you're probably saying some other stuff you shouldn't say. But you feel it. And when we feel that in our body, we should, just like our hands go to our toe when it's hurting, we should go to the body. We should go to the other parts of the body and get down with them where they're at. And here's the thing. You don't leave them. How many of you, come on, y'all. How many of you break your leg? You're just going to go, oh, too bad, leg. It's your fault. You did it, leg. It's your fault. You shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been stupid, leg. You're just going to have to stay broken. No, I'm not taking you to get help. We would never do that to our own body. So you get down there with the body and you pray with them and you love on them and you help them until you can help them get back up again. And then you don't go back to, okay, see you, Dave. Deuces. No. You stay here. In fact, this is an important part of discipleship. Don't miss this. This is an important part. You shorten the rope. You shorten the rope. You go, hey, buddy, listen, I'm just going to walk right here for right now, all right? Is that okay?
I appreciate it.
Brothers in arms.
That's right.
Brothers in arms. I'm just going to walk right here. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
I love you, man. And let's just walk together for a little while, okay? And I know you've been hurting, man. I know this is hard. And thank you. This is what a lot of you have been doing for us these last couple of months. Thank you for that. I know you're hurting. And I know this is hard. And I know this is difficult. But I just need to be with you right now. I mean, and it's all in the way we do it. Not, hey, you need me. You need me. No, I need to be with you. There's something about being with your brothers down in the dirt that builds character and strength in you. So you think you're just helping them, but the truth is they're helping you. And this is the picture of the body. Everything that we've been talking about over these last several weeks, it starts with love. If you don't have the love of the Father in you, you can't do what I'm talking about. We can't do it, church. We can't do these things. We can't have humility. We won't have humility if we don't have the love of the Father in us. We won't be a servant. We won't have unity, and we certainly won't disciple anyone. So you got to have love. It starts with that. And then all of these things shall follow. We'll be the brothers in Christ we're meant to be. We'll have the strength and the love of God in us that draws us to each other. I got to tell you, this guy called me the other day. He has no idea, but it was right at the right time. Right at the right time. I got off the phone with him. You don't know this. I got off the phone with him, just bawled my eyes out. I'm just telling you, you got to shorten the rope and be there. Be there for your brothers and sisters, because you never know what you say, what you do. It might be just at the right moment when they need it. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? Thank you, bro. Here's that scripture. Here's that scripture I was talking about. It's Matthew 17:17. Now, you're going to look at this scripture and you're going to go, really? But just wait a second, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. I want you to know that no matter how difficult it got, Jesus kept discipling. Amen? No matter how hard it got, he kept discipling. You may say, well, it's Jesus. It couldn't have been hard for Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the Son of God. No. I'm about to show it to you. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, then I want to read it from the Message because it's so good. But Jesus said this. First, let me tell you what was happening. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was up there with two of his disciples, and three of his disciples that he took up there. And then what happened was, as he was coming down from the mountain, this is what took place. There was a man there with a boy who was demon-possessed and his son, and he was having trouble. The disciples couldn't cast the demon out that were down from the mountain. They couldn't cast the demon out. So the father came to Jesus and said, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't do it. Can you help me? And Jesus said this. He said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Now, that sounds almost like something he said to the Pharisees. But you got to, let me read it to you from the Message. From the Message, Jesus said, what a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? Listen to what he's saying. How many times do I have to say this to you? I'm discipling you. You got to listen to me. Don't just go through discipleship. If somebody's trying to disciple you, don't go through discipleship getting, yeah, I got it. Yep, I know. Yeah, I know. Yep, got it. I feel like that might have been Peter. How many of you feel that like that? Peter's like, yep, Jesus, got it. You only have to tell me once. Just once. No, we've got to be teachable. We've got to have a teachable spirit. And this is what Jesus was saying. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here to me. And he ordered the afflicting demon out and it was gone. And from that moment, the boy was well. Listen, this is the thing. Jesus got frustrated too. He got frustrated too. It's going to get frustrating at times. You're going to be working with people and discipling people and getting down in the dirt with them and trying to bring them along and teach them. And it's going to be difficult at times. And you're like, man, you're telling God, I'm just trying to dig for gold, God. I'm just trying to dig for gold, but just nothing but dirt. And I believe God's saying to the church, just be patient. Amen. Jesus got frustrated too. Just be patient. Just wait, son. Just wait, daughter. Like I waited on you. Yes. Just wait. Just be patient like I was with you. Come on, Howard. How long was he patient with you? How long did it take? How long was Jesus down in the dirt with you until you finally saw the light? Oh, amen. Me too, Howard. Me too. I just know Howard's story. I know what he went through. And I know there are probably many people. He can probably point to some people that took the time with him, poured into him, got down in the dirt with him, and wouldn't give up until they saw the gold come. They saw that redemption come. Amen? It only comes from Christ. So I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to respond, and then we're going to close this service out today. How many of you can say, well, you know what? Let me pray first. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking Holy Spirit to come and reveal to every heart in this place and everyone watching right now. Father, reveal to us what may be there that's hindering us from doing what you've called us to do. Father, if it's time, if it's sacrifice, if it's selfishness, Father, if it's just a lack of understanding, whatever it may be, Father, that's stopping us from going out and actually making disciples, spending the time, getting down in the dirt with our brothers and sisters and leading them to a deeper walk with you. Father, whatever it is, reveal it to us right now. Reveal it to our hearts in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask you, if Holy Spirit reveals something to you that's hindering you from actually getting in the dirt, doing more, making disciples, whatever it may be, if he's revealed anything to you, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. If there's anything hindering you from going deeper, making disciples, working harder, digging in the dirt, reaching out to people more, discipling more, come on. If you've been holding back and God's revealed it to you, I want you to stand. If there's something there that you're like, man, I could do more. I could spend more time. I could be more patient. I could be more understanding. I could have less of me and more of God, for sure. I could have less of me and more of Him. There's some selfishness in here. And can I say to you that this week I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I feel like I've come a great distance since you found me, since you picked me up. But Lord, I know through the recent trials, I'm realizing there's some stuff in there that doesn't belong. There's some selfishness in there, Lord. There's some times I want to take matters into my own hand. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? There's some times I get frustrated with people, and I just said, Lord, forgive me of that. If you got any of that, come on, stand. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you break every act of self off of us right now. Every act, every part, every act of our own life. Jesus, you said if we were going to follow you, we have to give up our own life and take up our cross and follow you. Father, if there's anything of our own that we just haven't let go of, come on, if that's you, raise your hand. If there's anything of our own that we just haven't let go of, Father, break it off of me right now. Take it, take it, take it. I give it to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I give it to you, and I choose to give all, every bit of it, whatever it is. And if it, Lord revealed something to you, name it right now. Just name it. You can whisper it. Just name it. Whatever he revealed to you, just name it. Say, I break that in Jesus' name. I break that. I break selfishness in Jesus' name. I break that impatience in Jesus' name. I break it. Father, and I give it all to you right now. In the name of Jesus, I give it all to you. And everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.